Just the time I feel that I've been caught in the mire of self. Just the time I feel my mind's been bought by worldly wealth. That's when the breeze begins to blow. I know the Spirit's call, and all my worldly wandering just melt into His love. Oh, I want to know You more. Deep within my soul, I want to know You. Oh, I want to know You, to feel Your heart and know Your mind. Looking in Your eyes stirs up within me cries that say, I want to know You. Oh, I want to know You more. When my daily deeds ordinarily lose life and song, heart begins to breathe sensitivity to Him is gone. I've run the race but set my own pace and face a shattered soul. But the gentle arms of Jesus warm my hunger to behold. And oh, I want to know You more. And deep within my soul, I want to know You. Oh, I want to know You, to feel Your heart and know Your mind. Looking in Your eyes stirs up within me cries that say, I want to know You. Oh, I want to know You. And I will give my final breath to know You in Your death and resurrection. Oh, I want to know You. To know You, to know You more. Lord, I want to know You more.
All right. Good evening. Are you awake? Good evening. All right, good to be here. Good to be back with you tonight. And I didn't get any tickets. Amen. Hallelujah. But no, it was pretty. The Lord had the freeway open for us. Amen. So we had a couple good services over at Monterey Park. And pray for us for the next couple nights over there, that the Lord would do a work. And I'm just trying to challenge people about being busy, about doing the work of the Lord. And boy, every one of us need to be at it. We need to be at the Master's business. And but it's a pleasure to be here. I do appreciate this church and appreciate you people. And I want to. I hope that the message of the song resonated in your heart some. I mean, do you want to know Him more? I was watching back here. I saw Brother Hocking back there raise his hand and say amen. I saw him wipe a tear from his eye. A man that's been on the mission field 58 years, given his life for God, and still a tenderness that he wants to know God more. Boy, every one of us ought to have the same in our heart, in our life. I want to talk about something tonight that I believe is hindering us from that. That's keeping us back from being able to experience the Lord and to know more of Him and to be able to be used the way He wants us to be used. I'm going to talk about what I believe is the greatest principle in the Word of God this evening. You say, what's that, Brother Martin? It's the principle of forgiveness. Forgiveness. One of the greatest of all the attributes of God. Were it not for the forgiveness of God, we all have no hope in this life and in the one that is to come. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Forgiveness is right there. For God gave His only begotten Son. It tells us in, read a few verses to you here. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7, it says, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Do you know that it's the riches of the grace of God that we receive the forgiveness of God? Well, it's a wonderful thing to know and experience God's forgiveness. It says in Colossians 1:14, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. It says in Psalm 130 and verse 4, I love this, but there is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. Man, we ought to be awful thankful tonight that there's forgiveness with our God. He knows who we are, He knows what we are, and He has forgiveness prepared for us. How about Psalm 86 and verse 5? It says, for thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Boy, aren't you glad tonight that your God is ready to forgive? Ready to forgive each and every one of us. Forgiveness, if you look the definition up for the word, it'll give you two basic words that make up the definition. The first word is freedom. Freedom. Because when there is forgiveness, there is freedom. Amen. The second word is this, the word pardon. It says pardon of an offender. And that word pardon simply means the release of an offense or of the obligation of the offender to suffer a penalty. Now think about the whole definition. The release of an offense or of the obligation of the offender to suffer a penalty. Most of the time when we say that we've forgiven somebody, those things are not included in it. That's what I want to talk about tonight. You know, I believe one of the greatest sins is and the one that's hindering the church of God, that's hindering individual believers, greater than any other sin, it's the sin of unforgiveness. Failing to forgive, failing to let go, failing to give freedom, failing to give pardon when you've been offended. Forgiveness is the very heartbeat of God. Were it not for that, again, we would have no hope whatsoever. You know, there's people that sit here and then people that I counsel with that will say, I hear it all the time, Brother Martin, you just don't understand what this person has done to me. You just don't understand what they did or what this person did or what that. And many times when I'm counseling with people, I have to say, I really don't. I don't understand. I've never been in your shoes in that position or what's going on there. But I can promise you, I know somebody that does. And when He was on the cross in Luke chapter 23 in verse 34, it records the Savior saying, then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And the truth of the matter is that ought to be at the heart of every one of us that call ourselves a child of God. We ought to be ready and we ought to be willing to forgive. And we ought to be ready and willing to forgive the way what the word means. We ought to be willing to give freedom and give a pardon. We ought to be willing to not hold that offense against somebody or expect that somehow they pay us back. That's really not contained in true forgiveness. If we had to pay back for what we did to Christ, it would never happen. Thank God for His forgiveness. Thank God for that pardon. Look in your Bibles, if you would, to Colossians chapter 3. Tonight's message, not going to be a shouting message, but I hope it'll challenge you some, and I hope that it'll speak to your heart some. This message on forgiveness. Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 12. This basically is just going to be a little Bible study. And I'm sure your preacher has hit on all of these thoughts. But just another voice, another way to challenge you this evening. Chapter 3 and verse number 12, it says that the Apostle Paul said to the church at Colossae, "Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies." He's telling the church, this is the way you're supposed to live. Okay, you ought to have bowels of mercies. You ought to have kindness. He said, humbleness of mind. He said, meekness. And he said, long suffering. And then in verse 13, he says, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, notice what it says, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. True forgiveness is the forgiveness like Christ. It's to forgive as Christ forgave. Well, how do I forgive somebody when they've done something wicked or they've done something unjust to me? Or you're supposed to forgive even as Christ. And that's what I want to preach about tonight. That's the title of the simple little message, Even as Christ. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, I pray that you would bless these next few moments we have to spend together. I pray that you would challenge our hearts through the truth of your word. Lord, I beg you that if there are people that sit here in our midst tonight, that, Lord, their life is being hindered. Their usefulness is being hindered. Their joy is just not there. There's no peace in their heart because of this right here, that God, maybe tonight they would get some victory over it. That, Lord, they'd be willing to get back in line with your word and follow what you say and, Lord, be able to be blessed the way you want to bless them. Lord, help us to learn to forgive even as Christ. And be careful to give you the glory for what you accomplish, for it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. Let me just say, really, in introduction here, you cannot truly forgive if you have never received the forgiveness that's available through Jesus Christ. You have to know forgiveness to be able to forgive even as Christ. Do you know for sure that you're a child of God? Do you know for sure that you're on your way to heaven? You know, we sit here today and we live in a world where we say, man, you know, this thing about the battles that are going on that are taking place in our country and in our land and the wicked things that we see happening. I mean, we see school shootings taking place and we see shootings taking place all over and we see people killing people all the time and all these things. You know, it wasn't quite that way maybe 50 years ago or 60 years ago. And, you know, when I was a child and when others here were children, I mean, you get into a fight with somebody or you get into, and when it was over, it was over. And the next day you just kept going on, but not nowadays. Nowadays, people, you get in a fight, somebody pull a gun out, road rage, and they shoot or they stab somebody or kill somebody. Why is that? Because we're living in a generation that knows less about God than they've ever known before. A generation where there's less people saved than there's ever probably been before. Why? Because of their failure to receive Christ, then they don't understand forgiveness themselves. I believe sometimes this is the reason why people struggle in their life and to never really truly come to that place where they have peace in their heart about their own salvation. Why? Because they say they've been saved, but they've got ought against somebody and they've held something against somebody and they've never really truly been born again, they can't forgive somebody. Amen. Let's just look at some scriptures, if you would, with me this evening. Look in Matthew chapter 6. Again, this is just a simple little Bible study. Matthew chapter 6. Notice what it says beginning in verse number 9. This is the Sermon on the Mount. This is the passage that's dealing with Jesus teaching the disciples how to pray. Chapter 6 and verse number 9 says, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." Now, this is the way Jesus told them they were supposed to pray. I'm going to switch over. Thank you. Give me a little more volume. Yeah, and my voice is a little bit weak tonight. This is what he said. This is the way we're supposed to pray. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. In other words, Lord, forgive me the way that I forgive other people. Boy, that's pretty convicting. God, forgive me the way that I'm willing to forgive other people. And then he goes on to say this. He says in verse number 13, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And we think that that is the end of it. That's the end of that little model prayer there. And so that's the end of the context, but it's not. There's two more verses that the Lord puts in context with it. You got to continue to read. Because it goes on to say, for if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. It's like he goes back and says, let me reiterate something that's in that prayer. You know, if you have to forgive men their trespasses for the Father to be able to forgive you. In other words, if you want forgiveness of your sin, then you have to forgive everybody else too. That's what the Word of God says. I mean, basically what it's saying here, forgiveness with man is a prerequisite to the forgiveness from God. What do you mean? We've got to be a forgiving people. If as a child of God, if we're going to go before the Lord and ask his forgiveness, then we got to make sure that we're a forgiving people too. Because if we're not, then he's not going to forgive us. Amen. I wonder how many of us hold aught against brothers or sisters. Somebody's done something in our life, and we're still clinging to and holding on to that. And yet we go to an altar again and again and again and ask the Lord to forgive us about things in our life, and we go back and we seem like we're the same individual that we were before. It could be because of the fact that we just won't let go of something that we're holding against somebody else. Nod your little heads, as Brother Gearis would say. Amen. What do you mean? We better get back to this thing about letting go of what we're holding on to against other people. Amen. I've shared my testimony a little bit in years here past, but I wasn't raised in the best of home situations. I mean, I was raised in a home where my dad was an alcoholic, and he was discharged from World War II with a nervous breakdown, and so he was on Valium, and then he drank along with it, made him a very violent person. My earliest recollections of life are taking a pillow and wrapping it around my head, trying to drown out the screams of my mother as my father was beating her. All right, there's the list of things is just so long. I don't even remember everything. But we lived in terror of our father. We lived petrified of our father. We would pray, and we would actually pray, Brother Meyer, and beg the Lord to keep him away from the home and not let him come home, because we knew when he did what it was going to be. You talk about struggling with the thing of forgiveness. But I had to learn, you know what? I have to forgive. I have to let go. I have to, and by the grace of God, I was able to care for my dad the last part of his life, even though my dad tried to kill me. My dad set out on a journey with a rifle, and he was going to take my life, and I was warned by police officers, and so many crazy things that happened in our life. But by the grace of God, and not because of me, but by the grace of God, and being able to let go and not hold on to those things, I was able to help him and care for him the last part of his life. Not because I'm anything, but because if we'd just be what God wants us to be and let his forgiveness flow through us, then we can be used the way he wants to use us. Amen. How many of you want forgiveness for your sin? Are you holding anything against anybody? Are you holding back something? Are you not being willing to let go and forgive? Then don't expect the Father to forgive you. Amen. Matthew chapter 18. Look over there if you would. Matthew chapter 18. Notice what it says here. And again, just a little Bible study here. I mean, God's serious about this thing of forgiveness. He's very serious about it. Matthew chapter 18 and verse number, beginning in verse number 21. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? I think Peter thought he was doing something really big here. If he does things to me, you know, how many times should I forgive him? Maybe seven times. And it says, the Lord said to him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. No, not seven times. Try 70 times 7. Well, what do you think the Lord meant here, Brother Martin? Do you think he meant 490 times? Well, I think what he was trying to get across was simply this. Peter, no, you forgive and you forgive and you forgive and you forgive and you forgive. And you forgive 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 and you forgive. And you forgive and you forgive and forgive and forgive and forgive and forgive and forgive. And you just keep on forgiving. Amen. You're not supposed to have aught against your brother and hold it against him. And I find it very interesting what Peter asked him was this. He said to him, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? He didn't say, how oft shall my brother sin against me, you know, and he come and grovel at my feet and beg me and then I forgive him. You see, as a child of God, even as Christ, we're supposed to forgive before anybody even says anything to us. Amen. We should be letting go, but you don't understand how they've hurt me. The last word is the part that causes all the problems. How they've hurt me. Where's the focus on? Is the focus on self, or is the focus on being Christ-like and accomplishing what the Lord wants to accomplish through us? Amen. But notice the story as it goes on. It says, Jesus saith unto him, or verse 23, therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants, and when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. That's a lot of money. That's a weight. They used weight. 10,000 talents is a weight of silver. This was silver bartering back in those days. If you study this thing out, you'll find out that 10,000 talents and the equivalency today in our market, money market, would be somewhere over $50 million. That's a lot of money. To owe somebody $50 million, I can't even fathom that. But here's what it says. He said, verse number 25, but for as much as he had not to pay. Well, I guess not. His Lord commanded him to be sold and his wife and children, all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshiped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. Wow. I mean, when he fell down and pled for mercy, the Lord forgave him and loosed the debt. I mean, freed the debt. I mean, pardoned him. Amen. Perfect picture of forgiveness. And by the way, that's a perfect picture of salvation. How in the world do you and I ever pay back $50 million? That ain't ever happening. What do you mean? Hey, when we fell and begged the Lord for his mercy and his forgiveness, he let go of the sin debt that we had, covered it with his precious blood, and truly forgave us. Amen. But then it says this about this guy, this knucklehead, it says in the Greek. Amen. It says in verse number, let's see, where were we at? 28, but the same servant went out, found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence. Now, 100 pence is a little bit different than 10,000 talents. 100 pence, differing opinions of the scholars, but they say somewhere between $20 and $40. So he goes right out and finds somebody that owes him 20 or 40 bucks. And notice what he does to him. It says he laid hands on him and took him by the throat. He started choking this guy, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me and I will pay thee all. Hey, I think we just read this. He did the same thing. It says, and he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. You say, boy, how ungrateful can a person possibly be? I mean, to be forgiven a debt that he could have never paid back, a $50 million debt, and then he'd turn around and hold some little something against somebody else. It's no different than you and I being born again, children of God, saved and on our way to heaven by the great forgiveness of our great and wonderful Father, to turn around and hold some little something against somebody in this life, in this temporary existence. It's no different. No different. But then it goes on to say this. It says in verse number 31. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto the Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desiredst me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. Now notice the last verse, key. This is key. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. Well, what do you mean? So likewise will he do unto us. What did he say? He delivered him to the tormentors. You see, when we fail to forgive, we're the one that lives in torment. Amen. You've heard it said millions of times before. People have said it again and again and again. To hold something against somebody, to not let go, to be unforgiving, it doesn't hurt that individual as much as it does you. Amen. Man, that's a part of holding on to things against people. Torments. How many of you want to live in torments? Nobody wants to live in torment. Well, then why do we hold on to things against other people? Part of the reason why we don't have the joy of our salvation. Amen. Part of the reason why we're not happy in the Lord. Amen. Why? Because we hold on to things against people. I mean, in a church this big, there's no question there's people have ought against each other. It'd be a wonderful thing if a church could get to the place where we don't have ought against one another, where we're truly forgiven one another, where there's the unity of the Spirit, so that the church can move forward and accomplish everything the Lord wants to accomplish. Amen. So we see that if we don't want to live in torment, we have to be willing to forgive also. Amen. How about Mark chapter 11? Look over there. Mark chapter 11. Just a few Bible passages about this thing about forgiveness. Mark chapter number 11. And notice what it says beginning in verse number 22. This is about a prayer of faith. It says, Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Boy, that's a precious prayer promise. Amen. How many of you have had mountains in your life you've seen the Lord move? I preached about that the other night. Man, it's a wonderful thing when you see God move mountains out of your life and have enough faith to trust him. But wait a minute. Notice what it says here. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. But that's not the end of the context. There's a couple more verses here too. Notice what it says. And when you stand praying, what's the next word? Forgive. If ye have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. And I know you're probably sitting here thinking, yeah, well, we already read this, Brother Martin. We already read that back in Matthew chapter 6, but this is a different time, and this is a different story. That back there was the beginning of his earthly ministry. It was at the Sermon on the Mount. This is later on in his ministry. And this is in context in regards to having power in prayer with God. So what he's trying to get across here, if we're not going to forgive, if we're not going to let go of the things that people do to us in this life, we can't be forgiven of God, and we're not going to be able to have power in prayer with God. Amen. We can't expect God to answer our prayers if we're not willing to forgive other people for things they've done to us. So I don't know if I believe that, Brother Martin. Well, show me where I'm wrong on this. I mean, this is Bible. This is at the heart of our God. This is at the heart of salvation, being willing to forgive. Oh, it's in our nature to hold on, Brother Meyer. It's in our nature to just cling to being angry and being frustrated with people and getting upset with people. That's all a part of our nature. But not when we're living in the Spirit. When we're in the Spirit, we can forgive even as Christ. We have the ability through him, not through anything we can do, but through the Spirit of God. Notice with me, if you would, in 2 Corinthians chapter number 2. 2 Corinthians chapter number 2. Are you still with me? I knew it would be quiet, and that's okay. I hope you're taking it in. Let me just ask you a question before I read this one. How many of you really believe that you deserve the forgiveness that God's shown to you? Anybody here? Then why do we hold that against somebody else? Why is it that we look at people as to whether or not we believe they deserve our forgiveness? We have no right to do that. Notice what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. If you remember 1 Corinthians, you remember a story that took place. I'll try to be very careful about what I say here. There was a sin that took place in the church. It was a pretty grievous sin. It was where a young man had an illicit relationship that he shouldn't have had with somebody within the own family. And it was dealt with in a harsh way. And they were told to turn him over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh because there was no remorse in his life or whatever. But in chapter 2 of 2 Corinthians, we see that something has changed. Notice what it says in verse number, let's pick it up, let me see here. Verse number 4, "For out of much affliction and anguish of heart I wrote unto you with many tears, not that you should be grieved, but that ye might know the love which I have more abundantly unto you. But if any have caused grief, he hath not grieved me, but in part, that I may not overcharge you all. Sufficient to such a man is this punishment which was inflicted of many." He said, you know, this guy, he's had sufficient punishment that was inflicted by people. And following the principle in the scriptures of church discipline and what was took place there, turning him over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. But notice what it goes on to say. "So that contrariwise, ye ought rather to forgive him." Okay, guess what? Let go, forgive. But somebody did something in the church, you know, and it happened. That's okay. It's okay now. It's time to let go. It's time to forgive. Why? It says, "And comfort him." Not just forgive, but be willing to comfort him. And then it goes on to say this, "lest perhaps such a one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow." Hey, this person now, they understand what the things in their life, they understand what they've done. They're trying to make reconciliation. You're supposed to forgive. You're supposed to let go. You're supposed to comfort them now. But you don't understand, Lord. You don't understand this wicked sin. No, he understands. He knows. But at his heart is forgiveness, and he wants it to be at our heart also. And he goes on to say this in verse number 8, "Wherefore I beseech you that you would confirm your love toward him." In other words, not only forgive him, not only comfort him, but let him know that you love him. Amen. "For to this end also did I write, that I might know the proof of you, whether you be obedient in all things. To whom you forgive anything, I forgive also." Notice what he says, "For if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave I it in the person of Christ." There we go again. I mean, in the person of Christ, even as Christ. This is how you forgive. This is how I forgave. And it says this in verse 11, "lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices." Listen, here's another reason why it's so important to forgive. Why? Because if we don't forgive in the church, if we don't forgive one another, we open the door for Satan to come in and get advantage over the church. How many of you want Satan to have an advantage over your church? You say, that's crazy, Brother Martin. Then why don't we forgive the way that he calls upon us to forgive? Why aren't we willing to let go? Why don't we have the mind of Christ and the heart of Christ on this matter about forgiving? 1 John 1:9, "If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Amen. He's willing, he's ready to forgive, and that, by the way, that's what he expects each and every one of us to do also. Amen. You know, forgiveness really is a seed of light and life. But unforgiveness is a seed of darkness and death. It really is. Forgiveness is the spirit of Christ. Listen, unforgiveness is a spirit of Antichrist. Amen. Forgiveness is the spirit of Christ, but unforgiveness is the spirit of Antichrist. Forgiveness is a seed that buds and brings forth beauty, but unforgiveness is a seed that burrows into a root of bitterness, affecting all in its path. Turn to Hebrews chapter 12 real quick. Look over there. Hebrews chapter 12. Notice what it says here. We're coming down toward the end. Hebrews chapter 12. Say, boy, I was expecting to come in and do a bunch of shouting tonight. And well, we can shout if we can forgive. Amen. Hebrews chapter number 12. Notice what it says in verse number 14. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. You see, when we fail to forgive, it plants a seed in our heart, and that unforgiveness germinates, and when it germinates, there's a root that comes out of that, and it's a root that we call bitterness. How many of you would say, Brother Martin, I just love to be around bitter people? You say, that's silly, that's stupid. Of course I don't want to be around bitter people. Then why don't we forgive? Because when we head down this road of unforgiveness, we're developing in our heart and in our life that root that's going to turn into that bitterness. Nobody wants to be around bitter people. You don't want to catch what they got. You don't want that to be a part of your life. But yet we'll still hold on to things in our life and not be willing to let go of and forgive. Forgiveness is the cure for the cancer of bitterness. I'll share a few stories with you here. Well, look to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, and then I'll give you this passage, and I'll share a couple stories, and I'll be done. Ephesians chapter number 4. Look at verse number 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. Here it is again. Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Man, we're supposed to be forgiving. We're supposed to, why? So we don't develop into bitterness in our life. The truth of the matter is, Brother Meyer, I've asked preachers this all over the country. Can you tell me, how many people can you tell me that you knew developed into a bitter person and they were able to get victory over it? I don't even know of somebody that I could give you a name, really. I don't. What do you mean? It's a cancer, and it'll eat you alive. I had a preacher friend that texted me about 2 years ago. He texted me. I was in a meeting, and he said, Brother Martin, would you just pray for me? He said, I've got a serious situation I'm dealing with in the church, and I just need God's wisdom. And so when I got back from the meeting, I gave him a call. He pastors a real big church out in Pennsylvania. And he said, He said, well, here's the story. He said, do you remember? And he named a lady in his church. And it was a Christian school teacher in his church. And I said, yeah, I remember. He said, I had you talk with her. He said, yeah, I remember. And she was going through some hard times with her husband. She grew up in the church there. Husband grew up in the church there. She went off to college, got her degree, came back. They kind of began to date and everything, fell in love, got married. They began to work in a bus ministry there. He was a bus captain. But he got angry with the preacher about something. And he got bitter toward the preacher. And so he quit the bus route, and he quit coming to church completely. And his wife was still faithful with the two boys being in church. But they were having some real issues, and he was leaving her for weeks at a time and coming back. And it just been treating him mean, and she was debating on whether she should separate from him or whatever. And he said the other night, said her husband came in, and they got into an argument, and he pulled a 9mm out of the desk, and he shot and killed his wife. And turned a gun on himself and killed himself. He said, now here's my dilemma. Terrible, horrific thing. Everybody loved this lady, and everybody in the church loved her so much. Sweet lady, just a tender-hearted lady. Loved the boys too. He said, but both of them were still church members. So I got to preach a funeral for both of them. I got a lot of upset people in my church. I'm trying to get them to see that they need to be a part of the both funerals. We need to show the love of God. I said, I'll be praying for you, preacher. You let me know. He said, I'm preaching the husband's funeral on Thursday and the wife's funeral on Saturday. I said, I'll call you Saturday. Called him back, asked him how it went. He goes, oh, Brother Martin, God was so good. He said, Thursday night, he said, we had the funeral for the husband. His family, most of his family's lost. Said, but you know, there's a lot of people didn't come, and I expected a bunch of them wouldn't come. I wanted them all to be there, but he said, but a bunch of people did come. And he said, I was so thankful for the church family being what they should be. And he said, I was able to lead the two brothers to the Lord at the casket that night. And he said, they looked at me, and with tears in their eyes, they said, we don't understand this. How can you be so kind to us? How can you treat us like this? After what our brother did. And he said, I was able to look at him and say, it's only because of the love of God. It's only because of God working in us. That's the only way. He said, then Saturday come the funeral for the lady. And he said, I knew everybody would be there. He said, it was so packed out. They have an auditorium that'll seat about 2,000. He said, it was packed. There was people outside and everything, watching it on monitors. And he said, I started the service this way. I told you the whole story just for this. He said, I started the service this way. He said, you know, he said, I understand that there's a lot of people that are upset here. I understand there's a lot of people that are really mad. You're very upset about what happened to this dear lady, and so am I. But he said, you got to be careful, because this unforgiveness in your life, this unforgiveness is going to lead to bitterness. And he said, I want to remind you of something. Bitterness is the match that burns the bridge to forgiveness. Think about it. Bitterness is the match that burns the bridge to forgiveness. I've counseled with so many people through the years. I've counseled with many dear ladies through the years that have been abused. And they say, how do I let go? How do I forgive? How do I? I said, I can't put myself in your shoes. I don't understand, but I understand what the scriptures say. And if we want the power of God in our life, and if we want the peace of God in our life, and we want the joy and happiness of God in our life, we've got to get to that place to be willing to let go of the offense and truly forgive. I don't know what's going on in your life. I don't know what's, but I'm telling you, you better be careful. You better be careful. You better be careful to have a heart of forgiveness. I was running a church camp, and there was a young lady that came to the camp there, and she was, man, I tell you, she was just a fire plug. She was an exciting young lady. She was 19 years of age, I think, and she was a counselor for this group of ladies that came from one of the churches, and she'd never been to a Christian camp before. She'd only been saved a few years, but boy, she was the life of the whole camp week that week. Man, it was a blessing having her around, and her group of girls came, and their church group, and they had some issues. They had some struggles and battles, and they made some decisions, and on Thursday night we have a campfire service there, and so they had a bonfire going, And we had the bonfire going, and we were given an opportunity to give testimony, all of the young people, and then we'd give the counselors an opportunity to give testimony. But she raised her hand. She had never been there before, and she said, could I give a testimony? And we said, sure, you can. And so we allowed her to get up, and she started talking, and she said, you know what? She said, I'm so thankful that I got the privilege of being able to come here. She said, you know, I never got to go to a camp when I was a young girl, and she said, I sure wished I would have. She said, after this week, I've had so much fun, and I've enjoyed it and enjoyed working with the girls and everything. And then she paused for a minute. She said, I'm glad the decisions have been made that have been made. But let me tell you something. And she turned to her youth group and turned to her girls. And she said, we came here a divided youth group. And we came here with girls holding things against other girls and upset with other girls. And a fractured youth group and problems. And she said, I'm going to tell you something. If you're not willing to forgive and let go of things, she said, we're going to go back and we're going to be the same youth group that we came here as. And she said, you see? And then she started in to tell us something that shocked everybody. We just stood there, could say nothing. She said, when I was 14 years of age, my father began to abuse me. At 16 years of age, I found out that I was pregnant by my father. She said, my father is in prison right now for the rest of his life. She said, I've got a son that my mother is trying to help me to raise. And she just started sobbing. She was already crying. She just started sobbing. She said, but I want you girls to know something. She said, I've forgiven my father. How do you explain that? There's only one way. Even as Christ. Letting go. Letting go. Well, you don't understand what. Well, tell me something that's worth than what happened to that young girl. You don't understand what this person has done to me. You don't understand what that person. No, you don't understand the importance that God places on this thing about forgiveness. Help you along with something here. You say, how do I know if I'm, you know, I don't think I'm holding on to anything against anybody. Is there anybody that when you hear their name, come on now, that's all you got to do. Anybody says something about somebody and that sinking feeling, you've never really forgiven them. I'll share one story and I'm done. I was preaching in a church out in Iowa. And one of the assistant pastor came up to me, and he said, hey, Brother Martin, he said, there's a guy here wants to talk with you. And I said, okay. And so he took me in, and he walks me up, Brother Meyer, to this mountain of a man. I mean, this guy's huge. He's probably 6'8 or 6'9. He looks like he weighs about 350 pounds. I mean, broad, across his chest and everything. And he says, this is Charlie. And I said, hey, Charlie, how you doing? He goes, you. I said, me, yeah. He goes, you. And I said, yes, sir. He said, I hated you. I'm like, man, I don't even know you. How you hate me? I mean, he said, I hated you. And I said, okay. He said, you came here to this church last year. And you preached a message and you talked about forgiveness. And he said, you were talking about how important it was to forgive and to let go. And he said, man, from the moment you started talking about it, I shut you down. I was so mad. He said, every step, everything you said, I got more upset. He said, because you see, there's a guy that was my best friend. We grew up together from the time we were little kids all the way up. Went through high school together. Out of high school, we're still best friends. He said, I got married. And he said, after about 8 or 10 years, he said, this best friend did something just terrible to me. He didn't even describe it to me, didn't explain it to me. But he said he did something to me, and I wanted to kill him. He said I tried to look him down. I tried to track him down so that I could kill him. And looking at him, man, he was big enough to kill him with his bare hands. I mean, this is a big man. He said, I never could find him. He said, but when you preached that message that day, the Lord spoke to my heart. He said, I'd been saved. I got saved in the RU program. And he said, I've been saved just a short time, but God spoke to my heart and said, you need to let that guy know that you forgive him. And he said, I fought with the Lord about it. I said, God, he don't even know. God said, you need to let him know that you forgive him. He said, okay, Lord. He said, I'll try to find him. He said, I found out where he was at. I found out where he worked. He said, I figured that's the only way that I could meet him. So he said, I went to where he was at work. He said, I hadn't seen him in 12 years. He said, I walked in and I asked to be able to talk with him. And he said, he came. He said, man, when he saw me, he was shocked to see me. And he looked at me and he goes, Charlie. And he said, the other guy's name's Steve. And he said, yes, Steve. He said, hey, I just wanted to let you know what happened with us before and everything. I just want to let you know, I forgive you for it. And he said, he just kind of looked at me and he goes, well, okay. He says, well, that's all I wanted to say. And he said, I walked out. And he said, I said, okay, Lord, I took care of it. And he said, it's like God said, you didn't do nothing. You did nothing but lip service. You didn't forgive that man. He said, God, I told him I forgave him. You didn't forgive that man. He said, I want you to really forgive him. He said, by this time I'm in my car. And I said, Lord, I can't do it. I can't go back again. And he said, all night that night, God tore me up. And he said, I finally, the next morning, I said, okay, Lord, if you really want me, if you want me to talk to him again, God, then you bring him to me. He said, I was headed to Walmart. I get out of my car and start to walk to Walmart, and he walks out the door of Walmart. I hadn't seen the man in 12 years till the day before when I talked with him. And God said, okay, I brought him to you. So what you going to do? He said, man, I started choking up. And he said, I walked up to him and I said, Steve, I got to be honest with you. I told you I forgave you, but I didn't. He said, but really, truly, I do forgive you. He said, you see, I got saved and my life's changed and I'm trying to live for God. And you know, I know you got struggles too. And, you know, really, I'd like to have you come with me to this program that's helped me a lot if you'd come with me. And I want you to find out what I've found out. And I've been sitting here looking at Charlie because he's a big mountain of a man here. And I didn't notice the guy next to him. And all of a sudden, he just reaches out and puts his arm around the guy beside him. And he said, this is Steve. He came Friday night and got saved at RU. And he's getting baptized this morning. Because a man really forgave, God used him to lead his first soul to Christ, his best friend that he was at odds at for all those years. What are you saying, Brother Martin? I'm saying if we want to be used of God and accomplish everything that God's put us here in this life to do, we've got to be a forgiving people. Because if we fail to forgive, then the Lord says he's not going to forgive us. Man, if we fail to forgive, then the Lord says we're going to live in torments. Man, if we fail to forgive, then the Lord says we're not going to have power in prayer with him. Man, if we fail to forgive, then the Lord says we're going to let Satan in the church. We're going to give him an opportunity to come in the church. I don't know about you, but there's none of those things that I want to happen in my life. What are you saying, Brother Martin? I'm just saying it's time to forgive. It's time to let go. How do I do it, Brother Martin? Even as Christ. You don't have the ability to do it. Through the power of the Spirit, you can let go. A guy, I preached this message here not long ago, and a guy brought this up to me, and he was a pastor from Alabama. He was visiting, just passing through. And he wrote this little note, and he handed it to me. He said, the problem with some believers is that they think that forgiveness is synonymous with approval. However, God forgives all our sin, but doesn't approve of even one of them. I thought, boy, that's good. God doesn't approve of any of them, but he does forgive us. You're not showing approval of anything anybody's ever done to you, but you should forgive. Heads bowed, eyes closed.